After hours that seemed like ages, there came a moment when they all knew that they'd been dozing a moment before, but were all suddenly awake. They were cold, thirsty and stiff, and none of them spoke, because now, at last, something was happening. Before them, beyond the pillars, there was the slope of a low hill, and now a door opened in the hillside. And light appeared in the doorway, and a figure came out, and the door shut behind it. The figure carried a light, and this light was really all that they could see distinctly. It came slowly, nearer and nearer, till at last it stood right at the table opposite them. Now they could see that it was a tall girl, dressed in a single long garment of clear blue, which left her arms bare. She was bareheaded, and her yellow hair hung down her back. And when they looked at her, they thought that they had never before known what beauty meant. The light which she was carrying was a tall candle in a silver candlestick, which she now set upon the table. The flame of the candle burnt as straight and still as if it were in a room with the windows shut and the curtains drawn. The gold and silver on the table shone in the light.
Oh, Majesty, stand. We are in the presence of a great lady.
Travelers who have come from far to Aslan's table. Why do you not eat and drink?
Madam, we feared the food because we thought it had cast our friends into an enchanted sleep.
They have never tasted it.
No.
What?
Then please tell us, what happened to them?
7 years ago, they came here in a ship whose sails were rags and her timbers ready to fall apart. There were others with them. Sailors. And when they came here to this table, one said, "Here is the good place. Let us set sail and reef sail and row no longer, but sit down and end our days in peace." And the second said, "No, let us re-embark and sail for Narnia and the West. It may be that Miraz is dead." But the third, who was a very masterful man, leaped up and said, "No, by heaven, we are men and Telmarines, not brutes. What should we do but seek adventure after adventure? We have not long to live in any event. Let us spend what is left in seeking the unpeopled world behind the sunrise." And as they quarreled, he caught up the knife of stone, which lies there on the table, and would have fought with his comrades. But it is a thing not right for him to touch. And as his fingers closed upon the hilt, deep sleep fell upon all the three. And till the enchantment is undone, they will never wake.
What is this knife of stone?
Do none of you know it?
I think I've seen something like it before. It was a knife like it that the White Witch used when she killed Aslan at the stone table long ago.
It is the same.
Oh.
And it was brought here to be kept in honor while the world lasts.
Look here. I hope I'm not a coward. About eating this food, I mean. And I'm sure I don't mean to be rude. But we have had a lot of strange adventures on this voyage of ours. And things aren't always what they seem. When I look in your face, I can't help believing all you say. But then, that's just what might happen with a witch, too. How are we to know you're a friend?
You cannot know. You can only believe or not.
Sire, of your courtesy, fill my cup with wine from that flagon. It is too big for me to lift. I will drink to the lady.
If you insist, Ripichi.
Lady, I pledge you.
Oh, bother. Let's all drink.
Yes.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
Lady,
we pledge you.
With your Majesty's permission, I am going to eat.
We should all eat.
Oh, yes. Good.
Thank you.
Why is it called Aslan's Table?
It is set here by his bidding for those who come so far.
Oh.
Some call this island the world's end, for though you can sail further, this is the beginning of the end.
But how does the food keep?
It is eaten and renewed every day. This you will see.
And what are we to do about the sleepers?
Yes. In the world from which we come, they have a story of a prince, or a king, coming to the castle where all the people lay in an enchanted sleep. In that story, he could not dissolve the enchantment until he had kissed the princess.
But here it is different. Here he cannot kiss the princess until he has dissolved the enchantment.
Then in the name of Aslan, show me how to set about that work at once.
My father will teach you that.
Your father?
Who's he?
And where?
Look.
The girl pointed at the door in the hillside. They could see it more easily now, for while they'd been talking, the stars had grown fainter, and great gaps of white light were appearing in the greyness of the eastern sky. Slowly, the door opened again, and out came a figure as tall and straight as the girl's, but not so slender. It carried no light, but light seemed to come from it. As it came nearer, Lucy saw that it was like an old man. His silver beard came down to his bare feet in front, and his silver hair hung down to his heels behind, and his robe appeared to be made from the fleece of silver sheep. He looked so mild and grave that once more all the travellers stood in silence. The old man came on without speaking to the travellers and stood on the other side of the table opposite to his daughter. Then both of them held up their arms before them and turned to face the east. In that position, they began to sing. As they sang, the grey clouds lifted from the eastern sky, and the white patches grew bigger and bigger till it was all white, and the sea began to shine like silver. And long afterwards, the sun came up out of the sea, and its long, level ray shot down the length of the table on the gold and silver and on the stone knife. The brightness of its ray on the table was far beyond any morning brightness they had ever seen. Then something seemed to be flying at them out of the very center of the rising sun. But of course, one couldn't look steadily in that direction to make sure. They were birds. Large and white, and they came by hundreds and thousands and alighted on everything, on the grass, on the pavement, on the table, on the travellers' heads, shoulders, hands, till it looked as if heavy snow had fallen. One flew to the old man with something in its beak that looked like a little fruit, unless it was a little live coal, which it might have been, for it was too bright to look at, and the bird laid it in the old man's mouth. The birds were very busy about the table. When they rose from it again, everything on the table that could be eaten or drunk had disappeared. These birds rose from their meal in their thousands and hundreds and carried away all the things that could not be eaten or drunk and took their flight back to the rising sun.
And now, welcome.
Sir, will you tell us how to undo the enchantment which holds these three Narnian lords asleep?
I will gladly tell you that, my son. To break this enchantment, you must sail to the world's end, or as near as you can come to it, and you must come back having left at least one of your company behind.
What is to happen to that one?
He must go on into the utter east and never return into the world.
That is my heart's desire.
And are we near the world's end now, sir? Have you any knowledge of the seas and lands farther east than this?
I saw them long ago, but it was from a great height. I cannot tell you such things as sailors need to know.
Do you mean you were flying in the air?
I was a long way above the air, my son. I am Romandu. But I see that you stare at one another and have not heard this name. And no wonder, for the days when I was a star had ceased long before any of you knew this world, and all the constellations have changed.
Golly, he's a retired star. Aren't you a star any longer?
I am a star at rest, my daughter.
Oh.
When I set for the last time, decrepit and old beyond all that you can reckon, I was carried to this island. I am not so old now as I was then. Every morning, a bird brings me a fireberry from the valleys in the sun, and each fireberry takes away a little of my age. And when I have become as young as the child that was born yesterday, then I shall take my rising again and once more tread the great dance.
In our world, a star is a huge ball of flaming gas.
Even in your world, my son, that is not what a star is, but only what it is made of. And in this world, you have already met a star.
Oh?
For I think you have been with Koryakin.
Is he a retired star too?
Well, not quite the same. It was not quite as a rest that he was set to govern the Duffers. You might call it a punishment. He might have shone for thousands of years more in the southern winter sky if all had gone well.
What did he do, sir?
My son, it is not for you, a son of Adam, to know what faults a star can commit. But come, we waste time in such talk. Are you yet resolved? Will you sail farther east and come again, leaving one to return no more, and so break the enchantment? Or will you sail westward?
Surely, sire, there is no question about that. It is very plainly part of our quest to rescue these three lords from enchantment.
I think the same, Ripichi. And even if it were not so, it would break my heart not to go as near the world's end as the Dawn Treader will take us. But I am thinking of the crew. They signed on to seek the Seven Lords, not to reach the rim of the earth. But if we sail east from here, we sail to find the edge, the utter east. And no one knows how far it is. Well, they're brave fellows, but I see signs that some of them are weary of the voyage and long to have our prow pointing to Narnia again. I don't think I should take them farther without their knowledge and consent. And then there's the poor Lord Roop. He's a broken man.
My son, it would be of no use, even though you wished it, to sail for the world's end with men unwilling or men deceived. That is not how great unenchantments are achieved. They must know where they go and why. But who is this broken man you speak of?
Lord Roop, a Telmarine who has spent these last several years trapped in a dark island. An island where dreams came true.
I can give him what he needs most. In this island, there is sleep without stint or measure. And sleep in which no faintest footfall of a dream was ever heard. Let him sit beside these other three and drink oblivion till your return.
Oh, let's do that. I'm sure it's just what he would love.